call is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Reggie Bullock, and this is the This Is Recorded podcast. I am here with family, my cousin Carl Blackman. We're going to get into a lot of comic book talk and movie talk for you novice like me. I thought I knew a lot about comics, but in speaking to him for just a few minutes, I didn't know shit. So we're going to get into Infinity Wars. We're going to get into all kind of comics and stuff like that. But mainly we want to stay on Infinity Wars because that is the talk of the town. And yes, it might be some fucking spoilers, so don't listen if you don't want no spoilers. But I met a lot of motherfuckers recently that don't care about spoilers, so please listen. But he is a cultural architect, is what the legend himself is, and he's just an awesome dude, man. He got me into collecting comics at one point. He introduced me to Spawn, man, and he's just an overall good dude, great father, brother, son, man. And, hey, Carl's just a special dude to me, man. We may be gone for a little while, don't talk, but, hey, every time we speak, it's like it was just yesterday. So, Carl, please introduce yourself to the people.
Sup, sup, people? How y'all doing out there in radio land? Let's get this popping. So, what's up, Reg? How you been, man?
Hey, man, I've been fucking crazy. I've been watching, like, you know, Infinity Wars, and it was crazy because at first I was like, I don't know what to think of this movie. But then when I seen it the second time, I was like, this movie's fucking amazing. So I'm like, damn, like, I need to speak to somebody who really knows.
Let's hold up. So this is probably where we're going to get into that spoiler talk. So I'm just letting y'all listeners know, if you didn't go out and see Infinity War yet, if you didn't go out and see Black Panther yet, if you didn't go out and see pretty much the last 20 years of Marvel movies, they're out there. You should probably go see them. They're decent, most of them. Even the trashy ones are still pretty decent. But Infinity War.
Before we get into that, though, I want to know, how did you get into comic books? That's, like, the number one question.
Same way most people did of my age, X-Men the TV show. I found that X-Men came on TV, and I was just like, wow, these are things. Like, I knew, like, every kid knows about Spider-Man and Batman and Superman. Like, you hear things, but it's rarer to buy a comic book and sit down and be like, wow, this is a comic book that I can read and these stories are here. So I found out that it was a book and I was like, oh, cool. So the first comic book I ever bought was Robin. Was from the DC Robin miniseries that came out, where they were just kind of filling in, I don't even remember what issue it was, but they were kind of rounding out Tim Drake's story during the time when Batman broke his back and everything. They gave him a miniseries like leading up to it and like shortly after it, and I was like, oh wow, these pictures are amazing, superheroes are cool, and this story is crazy. Like, I can read, which all the teachers at the time, I was in fourth grade, so it was like, all my teachers are like, you should read more. And I'm like, wow, I can read, and I can have my cake and eat it too. So I immediately just gravitated toward it. I was like, and then I found out it was something that I could do. I didn't realize, because when you're young, you don't realize that these are people's jobs that they're doing to make all this. So it's somebody's job to sit there and draw pictures and, you know, write for these things and, you know, color these things. Like, there's a bunch of different jobs that go into it, but it's something that you yourself can do. So, excuse me, you may get ideas and, you know, those ideas you can put into fruition, and you don't necessarily need anyone to do that. Like, even if it's just for yourself, that's something you could do creatively that nobody else can do. And so I immediately gravitated toward that. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then from there, it went to anime and so on and so on and so on until now I'm just buying so much. Buying so much.
Yeah. Becoming I don't like to use the word addict, but I'm like a frequent purchaser of comic book and anime thing.
A fan.
Words are very hurtful, so be careful how you use them shits, pretty much.
Pretty much, but, like, with an addict or anything, the word fan is short for fanatic. So, when you call yourself a fan of something, you're calling yourself a fanatic, it's just shortened so it doesn't sound so bad. So, just by calling yourself a fan, you're pretty much saying, yeah, I'm addicted. This is my crack.
Okay.
This is what I need.
So if you have to pick your favorite, I know it's hard, but who's your favorite superhero?
Favorite superhero?
Yes.
I mean, it started out, like, I could give you the rundown. Like, right now, it's probably Black Panther right now. Like, because it's fluctuated. Like, over the year, like, I started out loving Spider-Man. Spider-Man was my favorite comic. And then Spider-Man went over to the X-Men because I started picking up X-Men more. Then it was Batgirl. Then it was Captain America and Deadpool, like, equally. Doctor Doom was one of my favorites. Like, right now, Black Panther. I got put on to Black Panther around 2012. But I didn't really start investing time into him and finding out cool and influential he was in 2012. I mean, it's 2018. That's not too long ago. And this guy's been out since the 19th. He predates the Black Panther Party. A lot of people don't realize that they actually called him Black Leopard for a time because the Black Panther Party came out and the negative incantations with that actually dropped the book sales, and they had to change the name of it, of the character for a little bit.
Wow. Yeah, because I heard about that, and I could ask you, is there any truth to the rumor that when Stan Lee or the other guy, Jack Kirby, I think his name is there any truth that they wanted to make Magneto as Malcolm X, their thought process, and that Professor Xavier was more of a Martin Luther King in their approach towards their people? Is there any truth to that rumor?
That is all the way 100% true. Like, they wanted to talk about racial, but they needed to do it in a veiled way, so they came up with the concept of mutants and used that as an allegory for racism. Like, Professor X is Martin Luther King. Magneto is Professor Xavier. But back to the Black Panther thing, that's the really cool thing they did, is they looked around and said, there's no black superheroes. And, you know, why don't we give black people a superhero that they can look up to? Now, this is in the 60s. This is dead in the 60s, early 70s. They sat there and said, let's give black people a superhero who's not a criminal. He's a king. He comes from his own nation in Africa. They're not poor. They're the most technologically advanced society on the face of the planet. He has his powers, his movesets and whatnot. And in his first appearance, what does he do? He defeats the Fantastic Four, which at the time was their flagship book. Like, Fantastic Four in the 60s was what Spider-Man is today.
And Fantastic Four, for people that don't know, saved Marvel and saved comic books. Him creating that, because not to cut you off, but I watched a documentary on Stan Lee, and he was saying that at the time they were struggling because they did a study at that time that they figured out that juvenile delinquents, one of the things that they did often was read comics. So that really made them suffer. So he said his last hope and wish was creating Fantastic Four, and that really helped their stock. Like, did I misspeak on that, or is that true?
With a few caveats. Like, what happened is Timely Comics was putting out a lot of monster comics and stuff at the time, and detective stuff, and that's not what was selling. You know, Superman had come out, you had superhero books, but with true crime comics and monster comics and horror comics, that was the bread and butter. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Superheroes were fairly new. Like, you had Superman. Like, Superman wasn't even selling that well at one point. Like, Shazam was outselling. When I say Shazam, I mean Captain Marvel. For all the nerds out there, Captain Marvel, also known as Shazam. So Captain Marvel was outselling it by, and that was by Fawcett Comics. Fawcett Comics came out and they were like, give me Superman and all the Superman without the Superman. And they made Shazam. And so he started outselling them because kids were buying his comics because it was like, oh, 12-year-old Billy Batson turns into Superman, essentially. I can't be Superman. I can't get lost from outer space, become an alien, and grow up in Kansas and have superpowers. But I can be a 12-year-old orphan and turn into Superman through magic. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So eventually the comics code came along and was looking at all the horror and crime comics, and they needed a scapegoat, and they targeted comic books. So the Comic Code Authority came about, and they put all these restrictions on. So immediately, a bunch of retailers and everything stopped carrying horror comics. Like, horror comics and crime comics fell off the face of the earth. And you had a bunch of people out of work, and it was devastating to the industry, because it was like, this was our bread and butter. Adults were buying crime comics, kids were buying crime comics, kids were buying horror comics. Like, now they can't buy these things. We can't produce it because it won't get it produced by the comic code. So Timely Comics was going out of business. Like, they were like, holy shit, we just got gutted. What do we do? And so Stan Lee was like, hey, I have an idea for this. And the owner of Timely Comics was like, give it a shot. We're going out of business anyway. And he gave you the Fantastic Four. He gave you Doctor Strange. He gave you Thor. He gave you he bought back Captain America. He didn't create Captain America. But he bought him back with Jack Kirby. Redesigned the character a little bit. You know, gave him the round shield and everything. Bought him back. Created the Avengers. You know, like Ant-Man, Wasp, all these characters, they're all Stan Lee and other people. Spider-Man, like Steve Ditko did the design for Spider-Man. Stan Lee came up with the comic ideas. Jack Kirby created a shit ton of Marvel people. Stan Lee came up with the concept. Jack Kirby executed and tweaked here and there. Like, for the story, like, hey, what do you think about this? And people looked to Stan Lee because he was the writer, but he co-created most of his characters. It's not like he drew them, because he can't draw.
Yeah, I see Jack Kirby's. Jack Kirby's name in them, though. They do give him credit in the movies. I see Stan Lee and Jack Kirby together.
That stems out of a thing that happened in the comic book industry in the mid to late 90s, where all these creators were suing, like the. People don't realize, but the creators of Superman damn near died penniless. They created Superman, and DC was like, here's $50. Good luck.
Yeah, it's kind of like the sound.
They never
saw like the SoundCloud rappers with the producers now. These dudes make these incredible beats, and these dudes just say, yeah, and then they, like, make all this money, and the producer didn't get paid shit but a thank you. Like, thanks for nothing, fucking idiot. But that's crazy. But, like, I've heard a lot of slander. I wanted to talk to you. I've heard a lot of slander about Black Panther where people are getting these Twitter conversations because, you know, everything is true on Twitter. Wink, wink. But everybody is saying that, you know, like, Black Panther has the weakest powers, and he's the corniest out of everybody. Why is he corny? Now, you're a real comic book fan. Can you please tell these people to shut the fuck up, and can you tell them reasons why Black Panther is not just some corny, like, superhero that only has claws?
He's one of the 10 smartest person in the world. He is a master tactician. He's beaten the Avengers in physical combat. Like, if you want to go to war, you bring, like, if you want a fist fight, you bring Captain America and you bring Black Panther. Like, you're in for war. He's beaten pretty much everyone in the Marvel Universe He's the richest character in the Marvel Universe. He's a king. And he's Black Panther's hardcore. Like Dr. Doom went out of his way to set Black Panther up to get to try to defeat Black Panther, and Black Panther damn near bankrupted his whole country to stop Dr. Doom from attaining the equivalent of a magical nuclear arm, because Black Panther's that thorough. Black Panther put together a team that cured Galactus of his hunger.
Wow.
That's who Black Panther is. Black Panther, after one of the more recent events in Marvel, put together a team of Avengers of his own making, because he was like, I need to put together, the Avengers deal with world threats. That's cool. I'm trying to solve universal problems. So he got the smartest, most powerful, and brightest people together and created his own Avengers team called the Ultimates. Went into space, found Galactus, and said, bro, we're not here to fight. We're going to fix your hunger problem, and we're going to, because we figured out that at the beginning of the universe, you didn't gestate long enough. You were supposed to be able to create worlds. Instead, you devour them because you were never completed through your metamorphosis cycle. We're going to fix that. We'll fix that for you. That's who Black Panther is.
So basically what I'm saying here is that there's a big difference between a real comic book fan watching a movie and a regular casual person like me or somebody that all you just said, they like, well, that sounds like algebraic terminology. So to you, what is the difference when a real comic book fan that knows the history watches the movie versus an everyday person? Like, what's the takeaways that each person is probably going to take away from watching a movie?
Nothing. The only difference you should take away is culturally from the movie, because the movie is his origin story. So you're getting the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of Black Panther. So you're getting an introduction to Black Panther. This is what I'm talking about, is from the 60s to now of cool things Black Panther has done in the comics. Like in the movies, all Black Panther did was become king and have some really, really needed discussions amongst the Black community indirectly. And,
definitely,
you know, shed light to, you know, the African-American plight in the United States and the views that it also touched on the views of how Africans see Americans. That's the thing. People go, oh, you're African American. Like, a lot of these places, it's nationality. It has nothing to do with, you know, Black or white or whatever. That's something that's heavy here. And there's racism everywhere. Don't get me wrong. That's always going to be a factor. It's always going to be racism, which is silly. That's a topic for maybe later. But staying on topic, Black Panther starts in the 90s in Oakland right before the riots. Like, people don't even realize that. That's what his brother was talking about. I'm going to arm the citizens, because he already knew that the riots were coming. So he was going to arm the citizens so they can overthrow the government, the local government, where the police were murdering them in the streets and beating them and, you know, all things that we know go on. And so he gave Claw the vibranium so that way he could sell it on the black market, give him the money that he needs from selling this rare earth material that Wakanda keeps secret, so he could buy more weapons so he can arm and militarize black people during these riots and basically pull an American coup. That was his brother's plan.
Yes, because in the movie it was pretty great.
Yeah,
in the movie it was.
I saw the movie 5 times also. So, yeah, I got to put that out there. I've also saw that movie 5. I saw Avengers and Black Panther 5 times. not by choice, but because I have different groups of friends that I'm their gateway to all of this. So I feel obligated. They asked me to see it with them, and I feel obligated to. I try to consolidate people so I don't have to make multiple trips. It never works out.
And that was my whole thing about Black Panther. It was just such an experience to watch it with your family or your friends, or taking my nephews to go see it, to just introduce young Black kids to it. And I did a whole podcast on it. I have to send it to you. And anybody listening that wants to go to This Is Recorded on SoundCloud or Apple Podcast app and search for the Black Panther podcast, and you hear my views on it. It's pretty amazing. But what I was saying really was, like, in particular, like, any movie, any comic book movie, what's the difference in, like, somebody who doesn't know much about it only through the cartoon and, like, watching the movies versus someone like you who knows the comic? What's the difference when we watch a movie versus when you watch a movie?
Enjoyment level. Because you're going in blind, so you get to enjoy it for what it is. Because a lot of comic book readers and everything, they have an idea of what the story is going to be based on the title or based on, you know, excuse me, what they're going to see. So if I'm going to see Superman, I kind of know the tropes of Superman, so I have an idea of what's going to go on, but that doesn't mean that's what's going to go on in the movie.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay. So, like, when I saw Black Panther, I didn't know how they were going to handle Black Panther. I was just happy that Black Panther was on the screen. It was like, holy shit. You know, like, oh, my God. There's a superhero, and he's Black, and he didn't sell drugs or get arrested or, you know, accused of a crime or various other things that we see, you know, or, you know, had to. Like, there's really only two characters in Marvel that are, actually, no, there's a bunch. I shouldn't say that. I'm gonna step back from that statement because that's not true. But like take Luke Cage. Luke Cage is a good man who got framed for a crime, but he still went to jail. He still got accused of being, you know, a murderer and various other things. And now he's a superhero. You got Cloak and Dagger. Cloak is, like, I like what they're doing on the TV show that's coming out soon. Marvel has another TV show, if you didn't know, called Cloak and Dagger, coming out on Freeform, which is going to be pretty good. If Runaways is an indication of what they can do on network TV without having to deal with anything, then we're good. But okay. Cloak and Dagger, in the comics, they were both drug addicts. It was a white girl and her Black boyfriend who were both drug addicts, got strung out on superhero drugs and became superheroes.
That is
not the thing you want to bring home to children.
That is interesting. What is that again? What's the name of that one more time for people that need to be on the lookout for that?
Cloak and Dagger. But they changed it for the series. I'm not sure how they're going to introduce how they got the powers. But in the Ultimate line of comics, which was where Marvel took a lot of their concepts and modernized them when X-Men 1 came out, they were like, holy shit, we need to capitalize on this. We'll launch a whole modern era of books where, like, it takes modern takes on things, because Marvel's rooted in, you know, the 1950s and 60s, the nuclear scare and everything. That's why most of Marvel's characters are radioactive. Spider-Man got bit by a radioactive spider. Hulk got created by gamma radiation. You know, this guy got this radiation, and that's why he has these powers. You know, the Fantastic Four got hit by cosmic rays, which is cosmic radiation, and they got superpowers. So they tried to take a modern take on things. Like Spider-Man, instead of radioactive spider, he got bit by a genetically altered spider, and his web shooters weren't make it more like the movie and everything, and eventually got to web shooters and everything, whatnot. Because you can't take Spider-Man's web shooters away, because that hurts his character a lot.
Okay.
You know, the point is, Spider-Man is a smart 15-year-old kid who made his web shooters and made the web fluid. Like, he thought of that. Like, he was like, wow, all right, cool. I have powers. How can I improve this? And he made the web fluid by mixing chemicals together because he's smart. And then was like, I'm going to mechanically engineer a device to disperse this. That's impressive. That's cool.
Fucking shout out to Peter Parker is what I heard. Pretty much, man. Shout out to him, man.
He was my favorite character for a reason. I was like, wow, science is cool. And it was like, yeah, it's okay to be a nerd. Because sometimes maybe you'll get bit by a radioactive spider and spring from walls.
Oh, yeah. And then Stan Lee said that was his favorite, like, because he said he relates most to Spider-Man, so that was pretty cool. I thought that he was a Queens kid and stuff like that, so I thought that was a pretty cool story as well. So I got to ask you and this is where we might lose a couple listeners. I don't know, man, or you might get a couple goons at your doors, but I'm going to have to ask you the question, man. Which side are you on? Which gang are you on, DC or Marvel, bro? I'm nervous, but... You might get beat up.
Protect your neck, both.
Bro.
I'm on all comic sides. Like I'm new to the industry, but I'm in the industry, so I don't play favorites because you never know when down the road you might get a job. Gotta be real with that. Like,
hey,
my boy,
smart.
Hey, but I also read both. Like. You know, I lean toward Marvel, but, you know, like, I love Batman. I like Superman. I like, you know, I can name other DC characters other than Batman and Superman. Like, I like the Suicide Squad. You know, I used to pick up just the Robin book. I wouldn't even pick up Batman for a long time. Like, I literally, Robin had his own series, and that was the book that I read from DC. It was like, oh, cool. And then from there, it went to Batgirl. Then I started picking up Superman during Joe Kelly's run because that put Superman in a new light for me. Because, you know, he long story short, he's, you know, Superman is the quintessential, you know, archetype of a superhero. And you have him, and here he is. He's this superhero who can fly. He's super strong. He has all the powers. Barely any weaknesses, and he's altruistically good. And that gets boring. That gets boring for people. But
it's like, how the fuck do you... My wife, her biggest gripe is like, you have all the powers in the world. How the fuck do you keep getting beat up? Like, really?
Because Superman is who he is. He's, like, he's altruistic. He's not the world's best fighter. He's literally just a kid from Kansas who has all the powers in the world and tries to do the right thing all the time. That's a flaw. Like, people don't realize how bad of a flaw that is. Like, Superman will go out of his... Superman could kill everyone on the face of the earth if he wanted to. But because he's Superman, because he's Clark Kent, because of the way he's raised, he doesn't. And that's what makes him interesting. He could be our king. Okay. Hands down. That's why Lex Luthor hates him. Because he is everything Lex Luthor wants to achieve. On top of that, Lex Luthor is kind of a human Superman. He is a human Superman. He's the world's smartest man. He's physically at the peak of where he should be. And he has from the dirt, built himself. He's become the richest man in the world. He is human Superman. And then Superman comes out. He's not smarter than him. But he is more powerful, and people praise him. He's a symbol of hope. And Lex Luthor is like, I already did so much. Why do you not put you're putting your belief in an alien, someone who's not of this world. I am of you. I'm human. Black, white, whatever, I'm human. Put your faith in me. I can solve the world's problems. Nobody does.
Okay.
And because Lex Luthor can't handle it and becomes Lex Luthor.
Yeah. So for me, man, I like I fell in love. Like, I'm like you. Like, I don't choose. I feel like it's kind of getting, like, Democrat and Republican-ish with the Marvel versus DC
it's
fight.
Stupid.
Like, it's really, like, it's really serious. And for me, I was born in 87, and I really got introduced. I really feel my first superhero really was Batman and Batman Returns. That shit changed my life. Like, that shit was, like, amazing. And it was kind of dark. Tim Burton did it, and I've always liked dark shit. Like, I'm not gothic or anything, but I always like the darker stuff. Like, that's my bar. Batman Returns is my bar for the type of shit that I like with action and mystery and sci-fi. And I just thought it was fucking amazing. I had the Batman car. I had everything. But I also, in the 90s as well, was introduced to the Fox Spider-Man comic, the Fox X-Men. And then I also seen Batman the Animated Series from time to time. So I'm on the side of you. I like both, but, like, why is it such a gang? Which side are you on mentality with the DC versus Marvel shit?
Well, a couple of things. You have people who are fans of the character, and so they're loyal to the character and, you know, different companies. So if you have somebody who's loyal to Batman or Superman, they're like, yo, it's Batman and Superman. Batman, Superman, and Spider-Man are the most popular superheroes in the world. Now, Iron Man. Like, understand what Marvel, like, we'll get into that a little bit. I'll get into that again a little bit later, but holy crap. Like, you know, like, Batman, Spider-Man, and maybe the Hulk were the most popular characters in comics. Like, everyone knows who they are. And the X-Men. Right? So you have all of that. And, you know, like, it's hard. Like, people get loyal to things, and they do what they do. But it gets better. I have a kid somewhere. Anyway. Because I can hear her in my microphone in the background whining about something, but I don't see her. So if you hear whining,
shout out to your baby girl.
You know, yeah, so sorry about that. Apologies to the listeners. Anyway. So, you know, like, when you break things down, like, that's all it is. It's the same thing that goes into anything else. People go to groups. And because people like acceptance and belong to groups, you get problems. Like, that's with anything. Like, racism, all of that stems from people wanting to belong. And there's safety in groups. Like, look at the dude who got hugged at that one Black Lives Matter protest and everything. He was a racist. He's sitting there. And that one teacher just looked across from him, and he just walked up and he hugged him. And he's like, why you hate me, bro? Why you hate me? And the guy didn't have an answer. Because he really didn't have an answer. Because wanted to belong. He just wanted to belong. So if everyone around you is like, yo, hate Black people. They're, you know, like, look, I'm just going to say it. They're niggers. And, like, if that's all you grow up around, of course you're going to rock with your team.
Yeah, they did a great job of doing that. They did a great job, and shout out to Chadwick Boseman again. They did a great job in 42 of showing that I'm at the ball game with my dad, right? And if my dad is like, nigger, and it shows the little boy's brain get sparked that, hey, if my dad is doing this, then I guess this is what we do. Because I truly believe nobody is born a racist. All this shit is learned.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you're around people that just like, hey, we should do this and we should hate these people, so you're going to feel that way without even knowing or honestly giving a fuck about why you hate it. So I think they did a great job in 42 of showing that, and that's really what it stems from. It's like, and Hate Thy Neighbor on Viceland, if nobody's ever seen it, you should watch it. It's like a show and a guy goes
amazing
around to different hate groups. And he asks them all, like, why, and they really don't have a clear-cut answer. Of course, they give you a bunch of bullshit, but they don't have a clear-cut answer on why they hate a particular group. It's really crazy, and at the end of it, he sometimes changes people's mind on it. So, if you get a chance,
I'm
crazy.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I mean, the majority of people who listen to this probably aren't racist. And if you do hold some racism, that's cool. But I'm going to break it down to you simple like this. You're human. All right? That is your species. That is your race. You're human, right? Just like, do orange tigers and white tigers not get together because they're both tigers? They're both cats. Like, if you stick a cat in a room with any other cat or a dog in the room with any other dog or wolf, because that's where dogs come from. They're domesticated wolves that have been domesticated so far. They look different. So if you put them in a room with each other for long enough, something's going to mix. And you know what? They'll have a baby. You know why? Because they're the same species.
Yeah.
They don't sit there and go, that tiger's orange. How dare he be orange? No, they're just like, oh, that's another tiger. I'm a fuck it.
Yeah, pretty
like,
much.
Sorry. But yeah, like, or I'm going to eat it. Like it's one or the other. And you know, like I understand, like, all right, let's take some current events, right? Like Kanye with the slavery thing. In context, his point kind of makes sense. Should he have said it? No. Did TMZ hop on that? Yes.
Is that what they do?
What he was trying to say. Yeah. Like, what he was trying to say was that slavery was 400 years, yet we had a group of people, but they were so enslaved by the mindset that was instilled in them over generations. That even though in 400 years they should have had an uprising and ended slavery, they didn't, because they were so mentally, you know, used to this fact, because that was the norm. That was the status of life that they knew. There was no uprisings. You had a couple of people here and there and were like, this isn't right. Why are we not living with them? And, you know, escaped or whatever. And you had free black men here and there, but that wasn't the general norm. You know, it's the same stupid thing with nationalities, where people are like, oh, Mexicans are so... Mexico has one of the most developed societies, you know, they're one of the most developed countries of the Spanish-speaking world next to Spain, right? Like, contrary to belief, that is the truth. Like, yeah. Puerto Rico's 100 miles. 100 yeah. miles. That is relatively small. And yeah. like people act like Mexico is like this, or Africa even. Like Africa's beautiful. Africa has homes that here would cost $1 million and you can get them for like 20 grand. Beachfront property. Like it's crazy how the rest of the world lives. And people get so stuck in stupidity and not looking at things the world over and like trying to find differences with each other. Not realizing that pretty much everyone goes through the same thing. Like, that's all you have to realize is everyone goes through the same thing and whatnot, which is cool, but now I'm going to tie this back to Marvel. So Marvel isn't doing so well financially. The comic book end. The movie end is doing blockbusters. The comic book end, not so much. Go on and buy a comic book. If you like these things, if you like Marvel, if you like DC, if you like Image, if you just like good stories, go ahead and read, buy a book, buy a comic book. Print is dying. You need this. Stop looking on Facebook and YouTube for all your information. But also download the podcast whenever you got your chance.
Oh, appreciate the shout out.
Got
man.
Support. Got it.
The shout out.
Support.
But back to your point real quick, because I don't want to stay on it too long, but real quick to your point about Kanye. Like, I also feel like I'm smart enough not to say that shit. But I also feel that what he was trying to say is, like, even in the aspect of black people supporting each other, we still have that slave mentality in some points as to where I want you to do good, but just not better than me. You also have that way of, like, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to tell on this person. At a job, you'll go through some shit where another black person is, like, telling on you or some shit. You're like, what the fuck? We black. Like, nigga, we ain't gonna stick together, but it's like, nah, you came in here, you're doing better than me. And that's the old slave mentality of, oh, he's gonna run away, or he's gonna do better, so he goes to tell the slave master. Like, there is context in what he was trying to say, but what the fuck he actually did say sounded absolutely nutsoid. But we live in a clickbait world, and we live in a non-thinking world, as to where we want to get mad about everything rather than analyze and think about what the fuck is really going on. Obviously, his mom died, and it fucked his world up. People really don't get that. It fucked his, it killed him when his mom died. That's number one. And number two is, he really is going through mental shit. And the worst thing for a person like him is to get involved with a family that fucking has the world by its balls when it comes to attention. He needs to be nurtured and mentally trained and helped, because he's going through a lot of shit. Him getting with that was the worst thing for him. So as the people like, fuck Kanye, oh, yeah, he's canceled, or people are like super supporting him, people should really be like, hey, I hope he gets whatever help he really needs, because obviously there's a fucking problem. I'm not going to allow him to say like crazy shit and I still support, because I don't believe in spending gazillions of dollars on fucking clothes and shit like that anyway, where it's kids to feed and this and that. So I don't give a fuck about Yeezys and shit like that. I cared about Kanye's music, and I just know Kanye is in fucking Jupiter. He is in fucking Infinity Wars right now. So you can't really take the shit he says seriously, man. You really can't take his shit seriously.
Is he?
You said,
that's,
you said, is he?
Is he? Because,
and see, that was called, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a joke.
Like, is he though? Because he bought, you know, I forgot how many acres of land, but he bought a lot, so he can start he bought 300 acres of land, so that way he could build a community and start, you know, expanding, so he could become a real estate developer, so that way people can have houses and have land and have people live. Like, is he crazy? Or is that the media narrative? Because when he said George Bush hates black people, they called him crazy. When he supported Trump, they also called him crazy. Can't be both.
Can't be both. I'm glad you brought that point, too. I'll let you finish your thought, and I'll finish mine.
The point is that what I think Kanye's problem is he tries to articulate futuristic, I think Kanye West is a futurist at heart. He's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's a futurist. Like Tony Stark, he's a futurist. So he's looking at the problems at hand, and he's trying to fix them. The problem is, unlike Elon Musk, or unlike, you know, all of our, you know, leaders that we follow and the people we listen to and whatnot, he does not articulate the intent of what he's trying to do well. And that makes it for an easy narrative. Because him talking about, you know, wealth and ceilings and how because of a black man, he can't do this or that or the things that he's being held out in, there's a lot of information he's giving you during these times. But whenever these things come out, they immediately frame it as Kanye West, crazy man, but not Kanye West. Hey, and this isn't from a huge Kanye West fans, because he did the same thing. Like, this is going to sound like I'm standing with the wrong people. It really is. But Mayweather said during the Black Lives Matter movement, no, all lives matter, not understanding the full scope of what his words meant overall. What he was saying is, hey, we are all one people. Stop thinking like, hey, I'm black, he's white, we have a problem, and start thinking like, you know, to solve these problems, you have to stop thinking like that. And it sounds like rich nigga shit, but it's not. It's you can't solve a problem of racism if you keep dividing yourself. You know what I mean? Keep saying, yeah. I'm black, and double down on my blackness. Why can't that white person double down on their whiteness instead of me going, I'm human, you're human too, why are we fighting? And that person going, you're right, we're all the same thing, why are we fighting? You see where the disconnect is? Like, it sounds good on paper, like, oh, like, you shouldn't be like, oh, I need to fight for black rights. You should be in the boat of, I should fight for human rights. Because if you get human rights, you automatically get black rights. You automatically get Latino rights. You already get Muslim rights. But it seems like you're disfranchising an entire thing. And that's the weird middle ground that you have to walk. Because you can't disenfranchise anyone and still fight for your cause if you're fighting for equality. You have to fight for everyone. And yeah, a lot of people don't understand that because of tribalism. Which outside of the podcast, we had a discussion about somebody, but I'm not going to bring them up because I'm not going to promote them instead of promoting you.
So
basically what it boils down to is you have to step back and you have to think, like, where's the point? You know, what are your biases? What are your hatreds and stuff? And you have to be willing to let go of all that stuff in order to make progress overall. Because if you still hold those hatreds and biases, that's going to bring that into the conversation and nothing ever gets done.
And that's what
you
I
know,
feel.
Like, how far you...
I was not to cut you off. It's just that it was like, for me,
no,
people forget in the Black Lives Matter movement is that nobody ever fucking said that no other lives don't matter. It's just that we're fighting for the shit that we see that's wrong right now. There's no Black Lives Matter people that see, like, a white person getting beat the fuck up by a bunch of black people and, like, hey, that shit's great, whoop his ass. Like, no, it's like right now I see a problem with my people, and it's mainly people of black descent that are getting really, really hurt. And, like, nothing's going, like, getting, like, no consequences for the shit that's going on. And we're bringing awareness to it. But the media, like you said, they want to take a certain part of it and mix it all in and, like, create a narrative. The news and shit, I don't really give a fuck about the news and stuff like that. Because they always create a simple task for somebody right now. Watch your simple local news telecast the whole way through, or even CNN or whatever. See how many fucking stories they tell that's about somebody doing positive in the community versus the ones that are doing absolutely shit and hurtful things and negative. So see how many positive and how many negative. Write that shit down and you tell me what the news is. I don't give a fuck about the news. I really don't, because I live my life, and I live like, no president, nobody can fucking rule my life. I can't depend on Kanye. I can't depend on Trump. I gotta depend on myself, my brain, and I gotta empower my people, as in black people, and I gotta empower all people. Because I'm like, I love people, but if I see a problem in my community, I'm like, yo, I really, cause I can relate to that as much. It's kinda like what you said earlier about, like, hey, if this all cats in one room, like, I can relate to the cats. We could talk about some shit. So, but it's like, the media is the circus that creates all this bullshit. Even with the DC versus Marvel, it's like, pick a side. And really, you want to be on the side of Marvel because we're winning right now. It's like, bro, like what the fuck you like.
In the movies, in the comics, that's the thing. That's the thing. In the movies, yeah, Marvel's winning, but DC is the number one comic book company right now. Does that make sense? It's because... And that boils down to corporate interest. Like, these corporations that are making, like, DC's owned all by one company. They don't have they have luxuries that Disney does not, because Disney does not own all their properties. You know, like, Marvel already had sold the rights to X-Men and Fantastic Four. That being said, Marvel had nothing Like, when they put out Iron Man, understand what Iron Man was in the comics. Iron Man was like a C-list superhero. It was like, oh yeah, and Iron Man! He's there because he's a legacy character. And so they did Iron Man on a gamble. Like, if Iron Man was not successful, there would be no Marvel Comics today. Probably.
Because that's
how important Iron Man was. So what they did over the last 10 years, where they've built up this Marvel cinematic universe and everything and gotten people to, like, the fact that Avengers and Black Panther and all of these movies make that kind of money is impressive. It's impressive. Because they're not firing on all cylinders with their best characters. They're firing on all cylinders with their D, E, you know, with their C, D, and E-less characters.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
X-Men, they don't have. Spider-Man, they don't have that. Sony has that. And even though Spider-Man Homecoming was great, that's because Marvel worked out that sharing deal. But guess what? You're also getting Venom. Venom is all Sony Studios, not Marvel Studios. That is all Sony Studios. Because Sony Studios, in that handshake deal, was like, you pony up the story and, you know, produce the Spider-Man movies. So that way we can save our brand. We have the rights to all the Spider-Man shit. So we can make as many Spider-Man shits as we want. And so now you get Venom. Now you get Sable and Black. Now you get, you know, all these other little side stories. And Disney only gets the share of the stuff that features Spider-Man that goes to non-Spider-Man movies. Sony gets all the money from all the Spider-Man movies. You feel me?
Yeah.
You see where this is going?
I'm a little nervous because
so why is DC fucking up?
I want DC to win because they have good product. And Justice League was really not as bad as people try to drag it through the mud.
It wasn't.
It really wasn't.
It was really good. It's a good popcorn movie. It has its problems. Like, one of the people that I watched it with literally was like, this looks cheap. And I'm like, I had to explain. Like, there were so many little things wrong with Justice League that it got a bad rap. It's overall a good popcorn. It's a fun movie. Like, you go, you watch it, you're entertained. Like, everything that you could have wanted from a Justice League movie, you got in Justice League. The only thing that, you know, like, they took out color coding from scenes, you know, to make it brighter and everything. They fired the director, like, 90 was done when they fired Zack Snyder. Like, and then they hired Joss Whedon to go fix the movie and make it more like Avengers. So there's tonally parts that don't fit. But, like, Zack Snyder, when he directs, I'm talking from a technical aspect, he color codes things. Things are color coded. So in scenes where costumes look weird, or you can tell that, like, there's points in it where you can see the abs painted on the costumes to accentuate the muscles. And you can clearly see that. And that's because it was supposed to be color coded. That scene was supposed to be color coded a certain color. And if it was color coded that color, you would have never seen that.
Yeah. Cause I could see like some little technical issues, but just from being brainless and just watching the movie, I thought it was fine. I don't know what the fuss is other than Marvel trying to create the rhetoric in people's head. Like we said earlier, and like a continuous thing is when people push a certain narrative, and that's as big in the Black community, is that people push the wrong narrative on Black people. But so when people push a wrong narrative, you're going to have the sheep mentality of a bunch of people going, Justice League was the worst movie I ever seen, when actuality, it was not even close to the worst movie I've ever seen. Fantastic Four is some of the worst shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. One, two, and the reboot. were pretty terrible. And,
I mean,
and they could have been
yeah.
good. It could have been
yeah.
good. But yeah, no. And
yeah,
you know, like, hell, I'll throw out two Marvel movies for you. Iron Man 2, I wasn't a fan of, but hey, Sam Rockwell is an American treasure, putting that out there in the ether. If Sam Rockwell is a great American actor, if you don't watch his movies, you should. He's been in so many. Sam Rockwell is the man. Like, he never turns in a bad performance. Like, that's just me liking an actor who never turns in a bad performance. Like, I've never seen him suck. Also, yeah, Iron Man, yeah, he's in Iron Man 2. That's why I brought that up. So Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, Thor: The Dark World. I can keep this going on. They're not great movies, but they're all right.
I just watched Ragnarok. I just watched Ragnarok. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh no. Ragnarok's good. Ragnarok is probably the best Thor movie. Like, the first Thor movie is good. The second movie, Thor movie, is okay. And the third Thor movie is fun. Like, it's a fun movie. Like, that's, like, Marvel learned from their mistakes. DC has not. DC's trying to learn from their mistakes. But the problem is it's owned by Time Warner. You have this, you know, like, Disney is hands-off with its properties. It's like, this is the team that we put in place. That team handles it. And that's because Disney owns way more properties than everyone thinks. Disney owns ESPN. Disney, yeah, like, people don't realize that Disney owns, ESPN. Disney owned Miramax. So all those so for everyone who's like, oh, Disney doesn't kill people, every Quentin Tarantino movie you saw that wasn't produced by the Weinstein Company was produced by Disney. Disney's
wow.
produced
I didn't know that.
Studio
I did
Ghibli
not know that.
Films. Yeah. They own Miramax. They own Buena Vista. They own Marvel. They own Star Wars. They may own Fox as of 2019. We have to wait to see what the Federal Trade Commission says on that. And if they own
yeah.
Fox, that means they own Avatar, Aliens, Back to the Future.
Wow. Wow.
Rough.
Wow.
I think Back to the Future. I might be
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah, like, for me, I was like, hey, I don't know if you know, any fucking Marvel movie, whether it's garbage or not, is not going to fail. Because they have ESPN, they have ABC, they have all the companies that you talk, like, this, maybe it won't do as well. Because, like, what you said, people are like, fuck it, Thor was not, yeah, it wasn't good. Those movies were not good, but you couldn't tell they failed. Because they're not gonna fail. Like, they're gonna do very well when they first drop, but real people will be able to tell you, like, it wasn't that good. But they learn from their mistakes, like you said, which is a great, like, trait to have. And then, let me tell you this, we gotta get into Infinity Wars. The whole reason we got into
Oh yeah, we have to do
and
that.
And I'm gonna tell you this. Thanos, I knew shit about. Thanos is one of my new favorite, and I'm trying not to be.
He's one of my favorite villains.
I'm trying not to be a prisoner of the moment, but let me go through my favorite villains. One of my favorite villains of all time has got to be the Joker, because he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about people. He doesn't really give a shit. He just wants to wreak carnage and hurt people. And he really just don't give a fuck. Like, I love Joker for the simple reason that he doesn't give a fuck. Another one, Bane. He don't give a fuck. The portrayal of him in The Dark Knight.
Bane gives
like,
a fuck. That's the thing. Bane and Joker give a fuck. They give a fuck. The difference between... All right, we have to talk about comic book Thanos, and we got to talk about Infinity War Thanos, because they are similar, but they are different. Like, Joker, he doesn't give a fuck to a certain extent. Like, it's like, I'm chaos, but I need Batman to love me. Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, he does his shit because he's like, I'm the yin to your yang, you know, like that's Joker's deal. So it's like, all right, he's a crazy dude who you never know what he's gonna do. Manageable, because he's normal. He's a dude. You can shoot him in the face. Like, that's how easy it is to take out Joker. You shoot him in the face, there's no more Joker. Like, that scene with the mob bosses, and he stabbed that, when he takes, in Dark Knight, when he takes the dude and he puts the pencil through his eye. They just had to shoot him. Yeah. Like, fuck the bombs. They could have shot him at any point in that movie, and that movie would have been over. This is why Superman, you can't have Superman in a Batman movie. Because all of Superman's villains are normal-ass dudes. Superman fights superhuman dudes. Like, everybody in Batman, in Gotham City, like, Superman doesn't come to Gotham City out of respect for Batman. Because he understands he's working through some shit. Because at the end of the day, Superman can have that wrapped up in a day. There's no crime. The crime in Metropolis, you're committing a crime. Like, it's not like, oh, my children have to eat. You sit there and you contemplate that and be like, my children got to eat or Superman. I'm going to go to Gotham and rob someplace.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting in Metropolis. I have to deal with Superman. But back to Avengers. This is what I was getting to. So, you have all these villains, but Thanos was unique in the comics because his whole thing came from the fact that he loved death. He was trying to impress a girl. Like, if that's not relatable, I don't know what is. Like, he's like, yo, I was trying to impress this chick, so, like, I gained the power. Like, I was all about this. But, like, nothing that I did was ever good enough, so I gained all the power in the universe and killed half of it for her. That's what Infinity Gauntlet was, the comic universe. And she still was like, nah, boo, that's cool, that's surface stuff, but you only killed half the universe. It's like, bitch, what the fuck you want from me? That was Thanos in the comics. That was Thanos. He had tanked godhood, and she still didn't want any piece of that. Because she was like, you're only in it for yourself. And if that's not some relatable stuff, I don't know what is. Thanos in the movie, they gave him a bunch of layers. Like, he wasn't, like, that's the thing people don't realize. Thanos believes wholeheartedly that he is right. Thanos is the hero of Infinity War. Not the superheroes. Yeah. That was Thanos' movie. That's why at the end, if you watch the credits, it says Thanos will return. That's what it says. It doesn't say Captain America the return, the Avengers will return. It says Thanos will return. Because it's Thanos' movie. Thanos had to sacrifice. Out of all of the other heroes in that movie, who sacrificed more? Thanos gave up his daughter. He gave up.
Spoiler alert.
He doesn't want to kill anyone. Like, when he sat Tony Stark down, he's like, hey, like, I hope they remember you. I hope they remember the sacrifice that you stood here and made. But I'm a, bro, you got to die. Like, you can't stand, like, when he told Gamora, he's like, I shunned my destiny once. I cannot do that again. That's some real shit. He killed his daughter. Like, understand, as a parent, that's some real shit. He killed his kid because he was like, the well-being of the universe is more important than my child. I am looking at the bigger picture. I'm trying to save you all. So I will do nothing but get my goal. Like, I will get my goal or I will die trying. And that's some hard shit. Like, how, he is Killmonger. He is Killmonger to the extreme. Like, Killmonger was like, I'm gonna arm all the oppressed peoples and we're gonna rise up. And it's like, maybe that's not the way to go by causing, you know, mass genocides and wars and stuff. Maybe we can go about this a different way. And he's like, nah, because that's what they did to us. And, like, you can relate to that out of anger. That's what all the, the villain in Civil War won. Like, how did you not, like, he won. He disbanded the Avengers. That was his goal. He didn't try to kill anyone. He was like, yo, guess what? I know I'm not a superhero. I'm a regular dude. How does a regular dude stand against gods? He's like, these men that are on the Avengers, they're essentially gods. I cannot compete with that. But if I break them apart, if I make them fight amongst themselves, and then they can never be friends again, that's a win.
Yeah.
Tony Stark never called Steve Rogers in Infinity War. Let's point that all the way out. Let's give props to Baron Zemo. His plan worked.
Yeah.
Tony Stark never called Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Brody
he,
is
still
crippled.
He still was hurt. And then, I mean, for that, for my love of Thanos, just was kind of like, here's a villain that really fucking believes, like, bro, I'm helping you. You don't know it yet, but I'm just trying to do something simple that's helping you. And he gives people respect, like, hey, you died nobly. You died nobly. Like, I love a villain that makes you think. You have to sit there and think, is he a villain? It mind fucks you, like, I don't know. Like, is he a villain? I'm not for sure. Only time will tell.
Thanos, if you noticed in the movie, Thanos fought everyone on a fairly equal playing field.
Yeah.
That's why the Avengers got to where they got. He has the Infinity Stones. Like, think about this. From jump, he already had one Infinity Stone. All you need is one. You don't need all of them. You can literally change the universe with one. They point that out to you really, really fucking early in the Marvel Universe. Red Skull's like, I got the Tesseract. I can rule the universe. And Guardians of the Galaxy, I got the Power Stone. I can rule the universe. And I got the Aether. I can rule the universe. You only need one. This motherfucker went and got six.
Yeah.
This motherfucker went and got six. Like, understand the commitment level.
Yeah, that's commitment. That's definitely commitment. Yeah, that movie just was a crazy movie. Like, the way it went on and the way it was going, that movie just was like, wow. The second time around, I really got it.
Oh, yeah. Like, after watching it five times, I've dissected little things, little character moments. And I watched the movie with comic fans, non-comic fans, you know, like, it's been a trip. It's been a trip. Like, watching it four times has keyed me into things. It's keyed me into the flaws of the movie. Like, and it's stuff that isn't its fault. Like, the flaws of most of the flaws in the movie come from flaws of the movie's building up. Like, and the fact that I understand they didn't have time to give Wakanda the amount of space that it needed, but they tried. They didn't know what Black Panther was going to be. They were already filming when Black Panther was wrapped. So it was like, all right, we got to see, like, early cuts and stuff, and this is what Black Panther is. All right, let's film our movie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
much.
Like, people forget things like that, and they don't understand that there's smartest business decision they made was that end credit sequence. Like, now you have to go see that movie. I'm not going to spoil the end credit sequence, but there's an end credit sequence, audience. So if you're still listening to this and you haven't seen Avengers, more credit to you. I'm doing my best not to give spoilers. But, yeah, That end credit sequence is like 5 to 8 minutes after the credits. And it ropes you in to go see the next movie. You have to go see the next movie because now you want to know. Now you want to know.
I understand, because I didn't know what was going on, and then someone told me, and then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to learn more, obviously. But for me, too, the first time around I seen it, I was like, I'm not a super comic book fan, so I didn't really understand it. And I was kind of sleepy, so I couldn't really give it the full context and the full, like, energy it needed. But when everybody was disappearing, you know, doing certain things, I was like, oh, that's kind of corny. But everybody was, like, emotional towards it. Why was it such a crazy thing when you see it happening? Why was that, like, so crazy? Pull me in. Make me emotional about it.
Because the hero killed half the universe. Like, they were disappearing because he won. He killed half the universe. Think about that on an Earth scale. Think about that on an Earth scale. On a universal scale.
It was like people in tears at the theater, in tears crying, like real bad.
Because they were characters that they spent the course of the last 10 years getting to know, just dying, and they knew what those characters meant to other characters. The one that generally most people cried at was Spider-Man, because if you saw Spider-Man Homecoming, the theme between Tony Stark and Spider-Man, the whole movie was, kid, don't get involved in these bigger scale things, because if you die, that's on me. I feel like that'll be on my conscience. Peter Parker in Homecoming is established to actual son. So, like, in that scene, you have Peter Parker being a 15-year-old kid for a second and going, holy shit, I'm gonna die. I'm dying. I don't want to die. And he panics. But then he sees the look on Tony Stark's face, realizing the horror of what's going on, and he tries to sober up and be like, nah, I'm good. I'm gonna be strong for you. I'm going to be strong for you, my mentor, so you don't have to deal with this. And he died.
Yeah, I guess, like, that was the hardest one. That's the hardest one.
Think about the first thing. Like, let's flip it around. Let's flip it around to each of these characters' deaths. Like, I'll walk you through. For Captain America, Bucky is the only thing he has left from his past. Like, at least he has his best friend. Because everyone he knows is dead. Peggy's dead. Like, pretty much all of his friends from when he grew up are dead. Bucky's still young, and it's like, oh shit, I got my best friend. And then your best friend that you thought was dead, you already dealt with his death once. This motherfucker's like, yo, I'm dead. And you're like, what? And
you know
then
what?
Your
that's
new
what
best
that's...
friend, Falcon,
oh,
also dies.
Yo, when you break it down like that, it's like, hey, your best friend, me and you, say you're my best friend. You're not going to die. You'll be all right, but he's going to die. Have a nice life. That's why it had to be so emotional.
Yeah.
Like, now I get it. Now I get it.
For Okoye? For Okoye? Think about what that was. Her king. The man she's devoted her life to. The man she basically, literally, a couple of months ago, threw the man she loved away in prison, because you notice Wakabe is not there. Wakabe,
yeah,
at the end of Black Panther, he ain't on the tribal council. That motherfucker in jail because he sided with the dissenter. Like, Black Panther, that nigga is in jail. She's,
yeah,
like, I threw away my life, the dude I was possibly gonna marry and, like, settle down with and have kids. And all this other shit that doesn't involve the throne, I threw him away on the strength of you, and then that nigga disappeared.
True. I didn't even notice that. Man, that's why I knew this conversation, I knew this podcast was going to go great. Hopefully all the, like, comic book heads and non-comic book heads, they'll get it, because it's a great conversation.
Yo.
It's like a comic book fan versus a non-comic book fan and me just seeking understanding. And I'm really getting it. It's not like, oh, I get it. It's like, no, you're really breaking through to me. And that's why comic book fans that know the shit, they get it more. And that's why these conversations need to be had before we go to Twitter and make crazy-ass statements. Because I could have went on there like, yeah, that shit wasn't all that, like, big of a deal to me. Like, I don't know why everybody was so emotional. But now that you broke that down, to think that the closest thing to me died is kind of fucking sad. It's really
sad. Yeah, like, and it's one of those things that if you don't invest yourself in all of the movies, there's payoff for every movie. Like, if you invest yourself in the Guardians, when Drax looks at Peter Quill and he goes, Quill? Like, that's just heartbreaking because you know their relationship. You know that, like, it's like, oh, I respect him, but I also don't respect him. But when he's telling Tony Stark and he's like, oh, this motherfucker's trying to play you, tell him about the dance-off. Like, Drax thinks that's the hot shit. He's like, yo, tell him about that Drax dance-off, son. Tell him how you saved the universe, motherfucker. Like, this nigga's trying to play you. And, like, he plays it so, like, Batista plays it so low-key, like, tell him about the dance-off. And everyone else is looking, and it's a funny moment, and they're like, whatever. But that's, like, so when he turns and he's like, Quill? And there's, like, that moment of, like, oh, shit, what's happening? Save me. In his voice, like, that's Drax, motherfucker. Like, that's the nigga who jumped in the fucking monster's mouth and was like, I'm just gonna cut it up from the inside. It doesn't matter. Like, that motherfucker's like, help me! What the fuck's going on? Like, that shit's real! Like, these motherfuckers are dying! Like, Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch are the Avengers heavy hitters. Fuck the Hulk! Thor, and Scarlet Witch are your in the comics, Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch rewrote reality. The reason there is not a ton of mutants in the X-Men comics, if anyone goes to pick up X-Men comics, because now's the time, because they're doing this legacy reboot. So if you're going to get into comics, for Marvel, at least, now's the time. Also DC, because they're doing their rebirth stuff, that's all in collected, you can catch up real quick and be where they are. Very simple, right?
Right.
These motherfuckers at Marvel just killed off the people you would have bet on if you were a comic book fan. The Scarlet Witch changed reality. Doctor Strange is probably one of the most powerful characters from Earth. Like, to put this in perspective, there was a comic called New Avengers. If you haven't read it, you should pick it up. You should pick up Secret Wars. It's this guy, Jonathan Hickman, who wrote that shit, is fucking brilliant. He took 8 years to weave together a cohesive story, starting in Fantastic Four and working all the way through New Avengers into Secret War. And you didn't know that was his plan. But when he came to Marvel, when he got the job, he pitched it, and they didn't even understand the scope of what he was trying to do. And he had to wait 2 years to pitch it again and be like, okay. Maybe if I explain it this way, you'll all get on. And the only reason it took 8 years is because other events and stuff, because Marvel does a retreat every 6 months. This is industry stuff. This is the super nerd shit. They do retreats every 6 months. So if someone had a better, an idea for an event and everything, that happened, and he had to, a story to make that work. Doctor Strange in that story literally sold his soul to become part of his soul to become a god. And then they fought. There was these things called the incursions happening. And it was when two Earths from different realities appeared in the same plane of existence, and then they would start to collide. And so the Avengers of what's supposed to be our Earth basically got together and was like, the only way to stop these things from happening is to destroy the other Earth. So they came up across the Earth that was the Justice League, pretty much. Like, it was Marvel going, and now they fight the Justice League, and they got wrecked. until Doctor Strange said, "Nah, motherfucker, I sold part of my soul to become a god." And he fucking ate all of the souls of all the superheroes and then the planet in like four panels. And the rest of the Avengers said, "The fuck just happened?" And Doctor Strange was like, "I did that." And they were like, "You're off the team. Congratulations. We don't need to do this anymore. You took it too far, bro."
Yeah,
but it's just you just ate the souls of an entire planet. Hear what I just said. He ate the souls of an entire planet plus the Justice League. That's how they defeated the Justice League, essentially. Not the real Justice League. Fake Justice League. But pretty much the Justice League. Like, Black Panther, Namor, and all these other people who are on the New Avengers. Because the New Avengers are basically this secret group called the Illuminati. Who handle world problems behind the super. Black Panther put together this group of the Illuminati. The original one, Black Panther said, "No, you guys are stupid. This is going to only end badly." And it did. Because Black Panther's smart like that. But back to Avengers. Holy shit, Avengers. There's a good movie.
No, I really like what it was is that number one in life with anything, with people that really like stuff, when you have expectations, it's kind of bad. Because you're going to frame a movie or a album or something on what you thought it should be. So you really should go into things with no expectations and then, just watch it or just listen to it. Or sometimes, if you like me, you need to see something for a second time. Like how they say, if you're sick, you should get a second opinion. Because it's like the second time or the first time I seen it, I was like, yeah, it was pretty good. It's kind of crazy. People died. Thanos was cool. You know, the action was cool. It's the average Marvel movie. When I watched that shit a second time and I really was awake and I really was attentive and really trying to see what was going on, I was like, this shit is amazing. I'm in love with fucking Thanos. The idea of Thanos, the way he is, the way he carries himself, the way he fights, the way he don't talk too much shit, but when he speaks, you need to listen. I was like, yo, Thanos is my new favorite fucking villain. Like, I was like, yo, he is cool. I fuck with him. Like, I was like, yo, I really fuck with him. And anybody, man, they should go see that shit. Because you're probably going to forget all the shit we said in the podcast, or you heard about it already by now. You fucking heard it. You've seen memes. You've seen little people acting like they're crying, leaving them with, you've seen everything, so we didn't ruin shit. So everybody, just go see that shit, man. Let's go see it, man. And is there anything else you want to watch, give to the people?
Yeah, I had to watch children cry 5 times. It's worth seeing. I literally had to watch children cry next to me 5 different times and want to tell their parents, all right, this is how you console them. My daughter in particular, she's a canon. she was okay with it.
Yeah, she's a different bitch. She's a legend.
She watched it and called her aunt a punk for watching it and crying. Because my daughter is a canon like that.
Yeah, she's just a legend.
That's who my daughter is.
Yeah.
Not just watching horror movies, and I'm a fan.
It's just that, for this podcast, I just wanted to really get context from somebody who's, after talking to you and talking to other people, and when they start going off into comic book encyclopedias, I'm like, I don't know shit. Because I'm like, I've just seen movies and a couple cartoons. So, I just really wanted to clarify and get some, understanding and see why I should care and see, what means what. And I know now that to go to you for anything and any questions, and if you want to be reached, do you have any social media handles or anything? If I inspired any listeners to know more, if they have any questions for you, is there any way to reach you?
Yeah, man. It is what it is. Avengers is probably the best comic book movie that's ever come out. Because 30 characters. It's got more than 30 characters.
Wow.
Sorry about that. Think about it. It's got every Marvel character that's had a movie, the supporting characters, and all of them have influence on story. M'Baku's in the movie. Why did they need M'Baku? Not really, but he would be in Wakanda. And Black Panther would call him. Because he likes to fight. Little things like that, the amount of legwork that it took to get to Avengers Infinity War is worth your money. Because you're thinking about 10 years worth of movies with the end goal of this movie being a thing. And then the lines of all of these movies and then making that happen. That's craziness. Yeah. There's nothing on a scale like that that has ever happened.
Yeah.
And that's shocking.
It was a real great movie. And I'm pretty sure you stepped away because I did a whole spiel and I asked you how you could be reached. But I'm not going to fucking fake like that didn't happen.
I'm not gonna lie. My daughter really I'm gonna drop the veil of the podcast real quick. My daughter literally walked downstairs, walked up, and started chiming in on our conversation. And I had to mute the thing and send her away.
Oh my god! Yeah, I was
like,
just saying. Yeah,
she was like, "No, I'm not, Daddy." Did you hear her in the background? Because she's all the way like. She's like, Chevette's not a punk. And I'm like, no. Which is my sister.
Oh my god. Daddy duties don't stop. But I was just saying, basically, if someone had questions to ask you, if they feel inspired, if they want to know more of what you got going on, is there any way for the people to reach you, or do you not want them to bug?
The social medias, you can find me. That's EVENTDOOM. You can find me on any of the social medias on that. And if you message me, except for Vine, I don't have Vine reinstalled because nobody fucks with that anymore. But if you hit me up on Instagram, Facebook, or any of that, you can hit me up, and I will be more than happy to have a conversation with you. I'm always down for a good conversation. You know, if you're coming with just conversation and you want to, you know, anything that I said or whatever, you want to debate with me or talk with me, or you have a different point of view, I'm always willing to hear a different point of view, you know, because that could change my mind on a subject, or it can enlighten me on a subject and give me your point of view or a point of view that I've never seen before. So please hit me up on at Event Doom on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and so yeah. But who messaged people on Snapchat? I don't want your conversations to disappear. Hit me up on Twitter or Instagram or you know, whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm always down. So you can follow me on all three.
Okay, man. I appreciate that. I hope that people are coming to you more for knowledge rather than debating. We have enough debating in the world, but I'm definitely, when I have questions, because I'm going back now, I'm watching The Winter Soldier right now. I'm watching all these movies because they're rerunning them, so I'm watching all the movies and trying to learn as much as possible for it to make sense to me of Infinity Wars. And I'm probably going to go watch Infinity Wars another two times. It really
is. Isn't Infinity War cool? Isn't Infinity War good, though?
Yeah, it's
isn't
really good.
Real quick, let's flashback. Isn't Winter Soldier really good though? Haven't the Captain America movies gotten better and better and better?
Civil War was some
Winter
shit,
Soldier.
Yeah.
Yo, Civil War. If you watch Winter Soldier and then you kind of hop into Civil War, you're good. You're good. You're good. You get exactly what's going on. If you hop in blind, oh man, it's just all right, all the superheroes want to play. It's You can watch it on its own, but you can't. But you get more out of it by watching the other movies.
Definitely.
Like,
man,
the fact that, Ant-Man shows up and he's like, oh man, Captain America. Like, Peggy Carter dies, and if you're a comic book fan, like, they officially announced that Agent 13, because that's all they give you in Winter Soldier, is that her name is Agent 13. But that's Sharon Carter. If you read the comics, you're like, oh, Sharon Carter? You mean Captain America's long-term girlfriend? Don't.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's
man.
So... They gave you Armin Zola as a computer screen face. Like... You got Armin Zola in the first one, and you're like, oh, it's Armin Zola, but it's not. Like, android body, television screen in the face, or in the stomach, Armin Zola. And then they kind of didn't quite give that to you, but they gave you Armin Zola on a computer face in Winter Soldier, and you're like, oh, yay, kind of the thing that I wanted, but close enough where it's not stupid, because, like, out of context, if you really think about it, a giant android with a television screen for in its stomach is stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you just make yourself an android body that looked like your body? Why would you make an android with a dot for a head and a television screen for a face? That doesn't make sense. It looks fun in comics in the 60s. In modern days, you're like, why would you do that? But,
yeah.
Hey, you know, gotta take what you can get, man.
Yeah. So what movies, which movies do you feel like is a must-see before you watch Infinity Wars if you had to choose? Which ones do you feel like is a must-see?
Oh, man. Before you see Infinity War, like the bare minimum? Bare minimum, you would need to see Iron Man 2, only because it introduces Black Widow, so you could understand that they kind of know each other. Actually, you know what? Iron Man 2 is optional. Iron Man, Thor 1 and 2... Black Panther, Captain America 1 and 2 and 3, and Ant-Man. That's about it. And Spider-Man Homecoming. You would need to see Spider-Man Homecoming to understand fully the and Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You
Guardians
don't
need
to see the Galaxy.
Shout out to Groot. When me and my wife has been going around all week, like, I am Groot all day. His shit is pretty funny. So shout out to Groot, man.
Yo. I mean, if you want to be a completionist, you gotta watch a lot of stuff, man. You gotta watch all the Marvel one shots, movies, all 5 or 6 seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Runaways, all the Netflix shows. Like, it's a bit. It's a bunch. And if my theory holds true, you might need to watch those Netflix shows. I'm just throwing that out there.
Definitely,
because there was a possibly photoshopped photo that leaked out that I'm not sure is the right thing. But if it is the right thing, you should probably go watch all of the Netflix shows, except for Iron Fist. You could kind of watch, like, the beginning of Iron Fist, and then, like, maybe, like, 3 episodes in the middle, and then, like, that last 2 episodes, and you're good. You don't need to sit through that. It's terrible. Like, the guy they got for Iron Fist is an okay actor and a shit martial artist, and, like, all right, here's my problem with Iron Fist. I'm going to air this out. This is some nerd shit.
Iron Fist
is the master of kung fu. Iron Fist is not the master of kung fu. He is a master of martial arts. Like, this is probably the best fighter on the planet. Like, this dude knows everything there is to know. He punched to become the Iron Fist. The Iron Fist has to face Shao Long, the Undying, which is a dragon, punch through it, rip out its heart, and dip his fist into the chi to become the Iron Fist. Go watch Iron Fist on Netflix and you tell me if that is conveyed at all. That this dude punched a dragon in the heart, dipped his fist in the chi, and made his fist into a thing unlike iron. Because the guy in the TV show seems kind of like a regular dude who might have learned karate on a Sunday for the last 12 years. That's not the dude who punched a dragon in a heart and ripped out his heart and was like, I got the fire of its chi on my hands. I can punch the walls now. And we're not talking about with a gun and a team. We're talking about these niggas from Shangri-La were like, yo, bro, you gotta go into this, you gotta go into that cave, right? And there's a dragon. And not like a man thing about a real fucking dragon. We're talking about like Lord of the Rings level dragon here. You gotta go face Smaug. What you're going to do is use your Kung Fu skills to beat this dragon. And what you need to do is you got to punch it in its heart. You got to punch through its chest, rip out its heart, and then dip your fist in its chi. And then you will be the Iron Fist. And then then we might recognize you. Not even you are the Iron Fist. We might recognize you as the Iron Fist. That's some hardcore shit. It's like, yo, little white, like, I'm going to put this even further in perspective. Little rich white boy who we found on a mountain dying. We need you to shape up, fit into society, stop getting picked on by the other kids, train yourself up, become the best martial arts in a mystical society that disappears from the face of the earth for about 10 years at a time. Go fight a fucking dragon, rip out its heart, put the chi on your hand, and then punch through walls. And then maybe we might consider you the Iron Fist. That's who Iron Fist is in the comics. That's who Iron Fist is in the comics. I know it's like, yo, you was rich, you was lost, you got trained by monks, you know martial arts, you cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy, man. But Carl, man, we're going to wrap this up. I really appreciate all your knowledge, and I will definitely be calling you in the very near future,
man,
to learn more and more and more and learn more and more about your action figure obsession. Thank you, man, and thank you guys, especially if you made it to this point. If you guys are still listening, you made it to this point. Shout out to people in Africa. I don't really promote the podcast like I should. But, like, people in Africa listen, a lot of people in Canada, people, like, here in Atlanta, man, people everywhere, all the family that supports it. I appreciate everybody. And Carl, anything else you want to say, man? Everybody, thanks. Thank you. Thank you a lot, man. Carl, you got anything else you want to say, or are you good?
Yeah, you can follow me at, just Google at even, if you see me on something that you're on, follow me. Fuck it. Message me. I'm with it. Like, I'm always up for discussion and debate. I'm down with, like, you know, talking to the fans and everything. Like, I actually enjoy that more than anything. Like, of all the conventions that I did with the comic book stuff and all that, I just really enjoy talking to other comic book fans about, you know, what goes into making these things that you like. Like, if you like pop culture, if you like all these things, I'm all the way down to discuss this with you. And it doesn't and stuff. We could talk sci-fi. We could talk, you know, we could, I'm well informed on a wealth of subjects. Whatever you want to talk about, shoot it at me. I'm always down to talk or learn something new. So if you have something that you want to bring sideways or something that I said that you don't agree with, I'm down to talk about it. Like that's so use those platforms as you know, a chance to talk to me or Reg or about anything. Like even Reggie, hit him up on all his social media, hit him, follow his podcast, do it all. Like I'm down and you know, like, hey, if you feel like you have a viewpoint that might change your mind, do it. Enlighten us. If you feel like something we said is off color, cool. Enlighten us. You know, like, we're always about learning. Like, I know who my cousin is. I know who I am. So, yeah, that's it.
Hey, man, this is recorded. Follow on SoundCloud. Like, subscribe. Please write a review. I need my reviews. I need my ratings, guys. Go on Apple Podcasts and write a review. Leave 5 stars if you think it's worthy of it. I'm not trying to get nothing I don't deserve, man. Carl, thank you, man. Yo, just listen to This Is Recorded. Peace.